Uranus is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. Joined by the Corner Contingent this evening, right across from me, our friendly neighborhood woodaholic, Mr. Marty Sparks, is in studio and in the screening room. We have producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated. Y'all know what it is. The real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen, is in the screening room. And we're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you, to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family, welcoming his view to inform and influence your view and my view, of course. And as a result of that, experiencing the fruit that is produced in us and through us as a result of following him in every way that we can. It's highly important and highly necessary that we understand that and function as if we understand that, because the world works over time to get us to place importance and significance on everything else, while at the exact same time allowing, frankly, a nefarious substitute to come in for the discipleship function. Because the reality is, the way that God has made us, discipleship is a constant. What I mean by that is it is going to take place. Oh, you thought Disney was just making cartoons? Mm-mm. Cartoons, they're making disciples. Mm-hmm. You thought Netflix and Prime Video, they're just making, they're making disciples. Mm-hmm. They're attempting to form the world that they want to live in, and they're seeking to do so by shaping the hearts and minds of the American populace. More specifically, doing so by shaping the hearts and minds of our young people. Why do you think there's such a chasm between the worldview and the ideology and the preferences? Frankly, in the cultural norms between, largely speaking, older generations and younger generations. Thankfully, with the examples of Charlie Kirk and others, there's been a recent reversal of that. I saw a study today. I'll probably talk more about this study in the future. But it says, surprisingly, there's been a downturn in the numbers of young people that are identifying as, so-called trans. There's been a reduction. Mm-hmm. Because people had said, this is a fad, this is a trend. And now a trend is changing in another direction, and you see a trend changing. There are lots of things, there are lots of opinions and reasons why that contribute to that ideology, but namely, one of the first and foremost, in my view, is that the bankrupt ideals, when applied, reveal their bankruptcy. But I'm saying that because discipleship is a constant. It's going to happen. The question is, who is going to be the disciple makers? Jesus said that the student, when fully trained, will be like his teacher. Jesus said that. It is high time, man, that we take the responsibility to obey what God has required of us, starting first and foremost in our homes and working outwardly from there. So as you're making your transition from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, do so with intentionality, recognizing that discipleship is a constant, but I want to be a part of forming disciples in Christ-likeness. One of the things you can mention, and I've had a conversation with my children about this. Have you noticed something strange where We're in, what, day 15, 14, 15 of the government shutdown? But it's surprisingly not the top story in all of the mainstream media outlets. Isn't that interesting? When was the last time there's been a government shutdown and it hasn't been splashed all over the news everywhere? Oh, that's right. That usually happens when the argument is that the Republicans are responsible for it. Huh. Because, you know, there are lies of commission, you know, the expression when people attempt to affirmatively deceive. And then there are lies of omission. Lies of omission are efforts at deception that manifest as a result of concealing certain information. Just did a little query. I'm going to talk about this more in the next segment. But just to like a little toggle around of our legacy media outlets. And it's interesting how little time they're spending on this government shutdown. Kind of makes you wonder why, huh? But before we get to any of that and the foolishness du jour, let us go to the Lord's word. Paul's epistle to the Philippians is where we're going to go today. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. I think I might probably go a little further than that. But Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, which was the first of the Christian churches established on the European continent. And Paul wrote this, And being found, no, that's the wrong chapter. I got to turn a page. I'm like, no, that's not the scripture I read earlier. Philippians chapter 3. I was in chapter 2. Chapter 3, verse 8. Indeed. Oh, man, this moves me every time. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. Jesus Christ is the prize. In our materialistic and consumeristic society, people tend to reduce Jesus to what he can do for you in terms of material provision. And the seasoned saints would say that you're seeking his hand, but not his face. Guys, there is no price that can be placed on eternal peace. There is no price that can be placed on knowing that you're in the middle of God's will. There is no price that can be placed on the fact that I know when I leave this earth that to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no price that can be paid for that. Having the real-time counsel of following the Lord. I remember, you know, growing up where I grew up, people would tell you, you know, y'all know I'm from the hood in New Orleans. People say, well, you got to have somebody around you who looks like you and who does this. I didn't have anybody around me that had been to law school. Nobody. I had nobody around me that was encouraging me to go to law school. All I had was the Lord. And I knew the Lord was calling me. And that was more than enough. Even when things got tough and things did get tough. Taking law school exams is not like taking exams in other types of academia. When things got tough, I was able to lean on him. And there is no amount of monetary value that can be placed on that. Jesus is the prize. Our culture would try to have you to accept counterfeits and substitutes as if those are the things that should be pursued. As Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Then all the other things, you know, the stuff that the Gentiles seek, they'll be added unto you. The way that Matthew 6 reads in the Greek is that your attention and focus is so consumed in Jesus, all these other things have to rush up to you and chase you down. Because they are not what captures your attention. They are not what captures your focus. He is the prize. He is the prize. I can stare down the reality of an uncertain society and the temporal waves of what's happening in life because I'm anchored in the rock that is higher than I. the Apostle Paul, who had all the credentials, a Pharisee of Pharisees, student of the Rabbi Gamaliel, had all of the historical bona fides. But he says, indeed, I count everything as loss. Not because it is loss in and of itself, but it is because of what? The surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Knowing Christ has transcendent value, transcendent worth. It stands out and above and beyond anything that we might imagine. There is none that are comparable to him. So Paul says, I count all those bona fides as lost because I found something better. I found someone greater. Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and for his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things. Not because I've lost them, but in light of who he is, all of the stuff that man places value in, I view that as rubbish. That's what Paul says. I view it as trash. For my Spanish people, as basura. I view it as trash. In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from my own performance, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now, in view of that, guys, this is what happens because salvation is a free gift that is not obtained by works. But as you've heard me say numerous times, that when you've been captured by the King of Glory, you move away from giving offerings to becoming the offering. So in light of what he's done and in light of what he secured for us, then you have things like it's written in verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. The Greek word there is teleios, teleios, which doesn't mean absent of error. It means mature. Perfection there means maturity. Not that I've already obtained this. Or I'm already teleios, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Oh. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward, pressing forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature, again, teleios, think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Let us hold true to what we have obtained, to what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, we all are on our journey at various stages and various points in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is the prize. We then, as we aspire towards maturity, we know, although we're not yet what we want to be, we can look back and say, whew, but glory be to God, I'm not what I used to be. Glory to God. Look. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I love my seasoned saints. The Lord has surely brought me a mighty long way. That's what you say if you got an old soul. I've been saying this kind of stuff since I was like 17. The Lord has brought us a mighty long way, brothers and sisters, in light of the reality that Jesus Christ is the prize. If he has forgiven us, who are we to act like he hasn't forgiven us? Sometimes, especially many who professing believers, Jesus has forgiven us, but we are self-condemnatory. We will condemn ourselves and think that it is a righteous thing when really it's false humility. Fall on the grace of God. Bask in the grace of God. And forgetting what is behind, press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling Christ Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the prize. And it is that aspiring, that ascribing towards maturity that sets us in the course, in the mind frame, where we're able to engage temporally, not for victory, but from victory. Because we know the end of the story. So because we know the end of the story, we live like we know the end of the story. Jesus Christ is the prize. And we have the express privilege of living in light of his transcendent splendor and glory. Forgetting what is behind, I press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. As the Apostle Paul said, all of the stuff that people view as valuable, I count them as rubbish because of the surpassing worth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
The time you spend reading and meditating on the Word of God is extremely important, and it needs to be one of those habits that we establish every day of our lives. Why? Because our connection to Jesus, a vital part of that is being in the Word of God continually. God literally pours grace into your life through His Word. And as you spend time in His Word, God's Word is working on you, molding, shaping you, and blessing you in ways you and I don't fully comprehend. You're spending time in the presence of God when you're reading and meditating on the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons why Satan fights the Word of God, the reading of God's Word in public or in private, as much as he does. He recognizes the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. When you're reading God's Word, God is talking to you.
What if healthcare could be more than bills and bureaucracy? What if it could reflect faith, foster community, and offer spiritual support? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, the mission goes beyond medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and embracing healthcare that aligns with Christian values. Redeem members share medical expenses through monthly contributions, supporting one another in a Christ-centered community. It's not insurance, it's believers helping believers through financial support and prayer. And Redeem HealthShare provides freedom for members to select the doctors, hospitals, and treatments that are right for them. No networks, no restrictions, just faith-driven care. From everyday checkups to unexpected medical emergencies, Redeem offers flexible programs and encouragement rooted in Scripture. Because your healthcare should reflect your faith, not compromise it. More at redeemhealthshare.org.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. As I alluded to in the first segment, it was quite interesting as I prepare for the program. And I've just been perusing the last several days all of the legacy media outlets and looking to see how much, if anything, they had to say about the current government shutdown. Now, if you have, you are a avid member of the corner, you know we've been talking about this, that the real reason for the shutdown, it is coming from the U.S. Senate, the Democrats in the Senate, because Republicans only need seven Democrat senators to invoke cloture, to pass a budget bill, which now it is a temporary continuing resolution. There has not been a normal, regular budgetary order for quite some time. But you had a CR that just was passed in March, and it was called a clean CR. And I explained that what the issue is, the primary issue, the mainline issue, is that all of a sudden, Obamacare is no longer acceptable to the Democrats in the Senate, because the budget resolution that the House of Representatives passed simply restored Obamacare to what it was before the COVID enhanced subsidies were passed under Joe Biden's emergency COVID responses. And so I explained, and you guys followed with me. We walked through that. And what happened was that in the One Big Beautiful Bill, which was passed by with Republican leadership, it simply restored Obamacare back to what it was before COVID. Guys, that's literally it. But under Biden, had enhanced subsidies, and the Democrats are saying, oh, no, 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 Obamacare as passed originally is no longer enough. We need the expanded subsidies, which were all always passed to be temporary. The enhanced subsidies, we need to make the enhanced subsidies permanent. Additionally, in the One Big Beautiful Bill, Republicans removed any potential funding through Obamacare to illegal aliens. Democrats want funding for illegal aliens because the enhanced Biden-era subsidies included funding for illegal aliens. That was some of the top-line things. And then you had smaller things like the One Big Beautiful Bill removed funding to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They want that back. The One Big Beautiful Bill ended some of the USAID funding, you know, with crazy stuff. And you're going to hear, I'm going to play some audio from Speaker Mike Johnson explaining this, but sending, you know, $24 million to Honduras for quote-unquote climate resilience, $13 million for quote-unquote, civic engagement in Zimbabwe. Another nearly $3.9 million for LGBTQI democracy grants in the Balkans. These are things the Democrats are insisting to include in the funding measure that were removed in the One Big Beautiful Bill. You know, stuff like that. Another $2 million for, quote, organizing for feminist democratic principles in Africa, end quote. These are things that were USAID projects, of course, that the Democrats want to put back in place. But the thing, the reason why I'm raising this is you don't see a lot of coverage of this. You know, the government shut down, well, you know, military family members' pay is suspended. Thankfully, President Trump is reallocating unspent funds to cover military pay and making adjustments to pay our military service members during the government shutdown. But usually you have a lot more consternation and hand-wringing and Republicans want to throw grandmama off of a cliff. But you don't see a lot of that. Is that not a tacit admission that they know this is a Chucky Duck Schumer shutdown? Is that not a tacit admission that they realize, ooh, we don't really want to get the American people to give too much attention to this because then they'll begin to realize it is a Democrat shenanigan that is happening. And much of it, guys, largely, and this is so sad. This is one of the reasons why I hate partisanship. This is nothing more than Chuck Schumer's effort to appeal to his extremely radical, regressive base because he's trying to fend off a Senate primary challenge in New York. I hate that that's the fact, but that is the fact. You have Chuck Schumer as the leader of the Democrats. The Democrat party bosses want to give some type of display to say, hey, even though there are Republican majorities in the House and the Senate and there's a Republican in the White House, they want to show that they're fighting against these Republicans. Because, simply put, President Trump's administration is winning. Accomplishing things on the global stage. Most recently, we talked about what's happened, you know, with Israel. You had, you know, the bunker-busting bombs in Iran. You have the things that are happening. I'm going to share some information. One of America's big three automakers just made a huge announcement to where they're going to reopen an auto plant, an auto manufacturing facility here in the States. Taking it away from Canada, rebuilding back here. These things are happening. You literally have in several months, we went from record southern border crossings being overrun by illegal aliens to where the Trump administration has shut it down to zero. Like, it's done. And you had, you know, the auto pen administration saying, oh, we got to have this, you got to have that, you got to have this, got to have that. It's like, really, all we needed was a new president. You know, so they're trying to, because of politics, this is so sad, but because of politics, to try to fend off the perception that they as a party are being steamrolled. And so we have a government shutdown. And so their acolytes in the media are aiding them. And I'm pointing, you're watching the show, I'm pointing to the right because we have a big monitor in the studio with different media outlets all on the screen at once. But the media acolytes are giving cover for this because they want to give the perception that this is all anybody is saying is Democrat obstinance that's the cause of this shutdown and the protraction of this shutdown. They want you to think that's just a right-wing talking point. That's why they're not covering it. Because if they cover it, what are they going to say? It is kind of true. Democrats are the ones who forced Obama down America's throat. And now they're saying, I'm sorry, who forced Obamacare down America's throat. And now they're saying Obamacare was never enough. You had the Washington Post that came out in the editorial to say, you know what? The Obamacare, which is called the Affordable Care Act, the simple reality is it never was affordable. Who expected that from the Washington Post? So they're not covering it because they cannot cover it in the type of slant they want to cover it. So they are lying by omission because they want to present the perception for the American people that, it's government shutdown. It's approaching one of the longest in American history, by the way. The longest one on record was 35 days. That was from January 22nd, 2018 to January 25th, 2019. That was the longest government shutdown in American history, 35 days. We're at day 15. Interesting, isn't it? Why isn't it the number one story in America right now? Sure, there's other things we're talking about, but you're not going to talk about it at all. Listen to Speaker Mike Johnson talking about the contrast that is contributing to the prolonging of this government shutdown. It is clip number five. Listen to and watch clip number five. Clip number five, go.
I'll leave you with this. You've heard the word contrast here a number of times today. I'm so grateful for these Main Street Caucus leaders who came in to help us articulate this contrast. I'll just say this again. You have two parties on a split screen right now. You have President Trump and the Republican Party reducing your taxes, cutting government red tape and regulations to get the economy going again, passing historic legislation to boost the economy and bring down the cost of living. You have Republicans who have ended the border crisis, almost zero illegal crossings in the last 4 months. You have Republicans who are working to end the crime crisis and support law enforcement and ICE officers and all those who are wearing that badge and putting their lives on the line and supporting our troops, as we talked about today. You have Republicans who are ending fraud, waste, and abuse in government and making government work more efficiently and effectively for the people. And you have President Trump in the White House and his administration ending conflicts that are killing millions of people around the world. What have Democrats accomplished in the last 9 months? A government shutdown. I mean, the contrast between these parties could not be any more stark. And I encourage you to watch. We call it the Hate America rally that will happen Saturday. Let's see who shows up for that. I bet you see pro-Hamas supporters. I bet you see Antifa types. I bet you see the Marxist in full display, the people who don't want to stand and defend the foundational truths of this republic. And we do. And that's what we're here doing every single day. And we'll continue to come in every morning and tell the American people the plain and simple facts. Because the facts are going to win the day here. The American people are not stupid. They see what's going on. And they know who's to blame.
I truly hope so, man. Because I'm just thinking about how many conversations I had with people leading up to the 2020 presidential election, and how many people that I talked to personally who had no clue about Hunter Biden's laptop, literally just didn't know. And so when you have kind of this blackout in the media concerning this shutdown, it ends up with people not really knowing what's really going on. Like, oh, yeah, there really is a government shutdown. But when they feel their preferred party has an argument, it's all over the media. I would submit to you that is an admission that they know. The best thing for us to do is to act like it's not happening and not discuss it. Because if we have to discuss it, we have to get down to the nitty-gritty. And the reality is that the Republicans in the House of Representatives passed a budget measure over to the Senate. And it didn't include any, like, additional Republican operatives or preferences. It's the same stuff that Democrats voted for back in March. So what changed? Speaker Johnson continues his conversation, and he highlights some of the things that when the House passed their bill, they brought it over to the Senate. The counter presented by the Democrats in the Senate include some of the ridiculous stuff I mentioned to you. Listen to and watch clip number four. Clip four, go.
And they would send $500 million to liberal news outlets by refunding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It would also restore up to $5 billion of American taxpayer funds for wasteful spending for international projects. Here's a couple of examples. This is in their legislation, their counterproposal on the CR to keep the lights open. This is what they want to do. They want to spend $24.6 million of your hard-earned dollars as a taxpayer for climate resilience in Honduras. They want to spend $13.4 million for civic engagement in Zimbabwe. They want to send $3.9 million for LGBTQI+ democracy grants in the Western Balkans. They want to spend $2.9 million of your dollars for desert locust risk reduction in the Horn of Africa. And $2 million for, quote, organizing for feminist democratic principles in Africa. We are not doing that.
These are the kind of things that are in These are the kinds of things that are in their proposal. Now, I want to be clear. I understand 100% that Republican is not synonymous, first of all, with Christian. Let's just be clear about that. Secondarily, GOP member Republican is not synonymous with constitutionalist. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm stating that, because that is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that when it comes to this government shutdown, it's pretty clear that it is a partisan shutdown. And you have, this is the honest truth, you have Democrats throwing a conniption fit simply because they lost, they're not in power, and so they're using their position as a minority to try to appeal to their voting bases as midterms are approaching to say, see, we're willing to stand up to the GOP. And they know they have their buddies in the media that's not going to place attention on what they're doing. So it's giving air cover. It's giving air cover as the government shutdown just continues on a couple weeks. You know, there's some saying that the Democrats are going to try to extend it so that it can get beyond this, you know, this so-called No Kings rally, whatever the next one that's coming up. And then after that, they're going to go ahead and agree to the bill. But it's just frustrating. And then here's the other part. Is anybody going to face any consequences for this? Do we expect Democrat representatives and senators to be held accountable by their constituencies? And so they're willing to play footsie with the government shutdown as long as it fits their political objectives, and the media helps by giving air cover for it. But just go back, do your own searches and see how previous government shutdowns were covered. And how the media went overboard, you know, talking about the details of it, highlighting this, making these arguments, throw mama from the train, all these other kind of things. And now it's radio silence almost on the issue. And that's an admission that they know that it's a house of cards, that the shutdown was absolutely unnecessary. It's literally nothing but playing politics. Literally nothing. You have these people who fought tooth and nail to get Obamacare passed, who are literally shutting down the government because they're saying Obamacare was not enough. That's not enough. We need to have these enhanced subsidies and make them permanent. We need to have these enhanced subsidies that include health care, taxpayer-funded health care provision for illegal aliens, the restoration of the USAID kind of funding, $24.6 million for climate resilience in Honduras. $13.4 million for civic engagement in Zimbabwe. Are you kidding me? $3.9 million in LGBTQI plus democracy grants in the Balkans. It's absurd, guys. This is absurd. Don't forget $2.9 million in desert locust reduction in Africa. And $2 million to organizing for feminist democratic principles in Africa. This is absurd. This is absurd. And if we had the Fourth Estate, they would be blasting these absurdities day in, day out to force these public servants to serve publicly. Instead, they are 100% in agreement with the politicization of the budget, so that the government shutdown can continue for political purposes, and so that all of these shucky ducky quack quack quacks and others can say, see, in their primary races, see, we stood up to the big bad GOP.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net. American Family Radio is now available on iOS and Apple TV apps. That means even our content is in the world, but not of the world.
Here's where both of you, or each of you, got it right and wrong according to Scripture. That's always our plumb line.
And you can download these apps free from your favorite app store.
The objective is to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ.
AFR, available on iOS and Apple TV. And you can find even more app options at afr.net/apps.
Opposition to Israel. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. It's been 2 years since the Islamist group Hamas executed a sneak attack that killed 1,300 civilians in Israel. Any rational nation would work to eliminate this kind of threat, and that is what Israel has done with Hamas in Gaza. So why the widespread opposition to Israel and the Jews? Disproportionate response and land ownership debates are often mentioned, but there's also an evil spiritual inspiration. Satan seeks to destroy the Jewish people so God's promises to them won't be fulfilled. Scripture says, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. Hear our most recent program on this topic at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I want to remind you that you are invited, if you're in the area or willing to come to the area, you are invited to Darbone Church of Christ this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, where by God's grace, I will be ministering this weekend at the church. Looking forward to returning. This will be my second time coming to this particular church in this area of North Louisiana. The church is located at 1148 Sterlington Highway in Farmerville, Louisiana, zip code 71241. That is 1148 Sterlington Highway, Farmerville, Louisiana, 71241 is the zip code. It is Darbone Church of Christ in North Louisiana. If you're in the area, I'd love to see you there. If you can make it to the area, I'd love to see you there as well. All right, some good news coming to us from the automotive industry. Stellantis, which is one of America's big three automakers. Stellantis formerly was Chrysler. Okay, Stellantis is now, Chrysler is now Stellantis. And so, you with me, Marty? Did I lose you?
What is a Stellantis?
Right, what is a Stellantis? Good question. So the big three automakers in America currently are the Ford Motor Company, the Ford Motor Company. Am I saying the Ford Motor Company? Man, I cannot talk today. General Motors and Stellantis, which was Chrysler. Hey, I'm just telling you. Well, Stellantis had previously planned to make its Jeep Compass at the Brampton Assembly Plant in Ontario, Canada. Not so fast, my friend. Now, they have announced that they will reopen a plant in Belvidere, Illinois, to make their Jeep Compass. They were going to repurpose the Ontario plant for electric vehicles, but they put that on pause. And so, much to the chagrin of our friends to the north, our neighbors to the north in Canada, that they are moving, frankly, those 5,000 jobs back into the United States of America to construct their Jeep Compass at the Belvidere, Illinois plant that they're reopening in the United States of America. In addition to that, Stellantis has planned to invest $13 billion over the next 4 years to grow its business in the critical United States market and to increase its domestic manufacturing footprint. Stellantis issued a statement in which they said, quote, "The investment is the largest in the company's 100-year U.S. history and will support the introduction of 5 new vehicles across the brand portfolio in key segments. Production of the all-new four-cylinder engine and the addition of more than 5,000 jobs at plants in Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana," end quote. So the Jeep Compass, effective immediately, will begin production in the United States of America at the newly reopened plant in Belvidere, Illinois. That's good news. That's good news. I have an update for you with the gubernatorial election and, frankly, the all of the elections in Virginia that's coming up in a few weeks, where the we played the clip yesterday where Lieutenant Governor Winston Sears, who's running for governor, called on Abigail Spanberger to require Jay Jones to step out of the race. Step out of the race. Abigail Spanberger has been crisscrossing the state of Virginia with Jay Jones, had been campaigning with him. To be elected to the highest offices because they're trying to reverse what happened in the last election cycle. We had Governor Glenn Youngkin elected. Winston Sears was elected as lieutenant governor. Jason Mayaris was elected as attorney general. Well, she, Abigail Spanberger, as well as Jay Jones, and Ghazala Hashmi have been campaigning to do the opposite. Because as a Democrat candidate, Spanberger is running for governor, Jay Jones is running for attorney general, and Ghazala Hashmi is running for lieutenant governor. Well, further confirming the fact that Spanberger refuses to require Jay Jones to step out of the race, you know, after he wished death upon Republican elected officials and for their children to die because of them having a difference of opinion on a policy matter. Isn't that wild? A little internet sleuthing had us stumble across just as recently as today that Abigail Spanberger is still selling merchandise on her website, advertising her campaign with Jay Jones and Ghazala Hashmi. If you would, Mr. McIntosh, would you please put it on the screen for the people? Well, you can see T-shirts and bumper stickers that say Spanberger, Hashmi, and Jones. Spanberger, Hashmi, and Jones. Spanberger, Hashmi, and Jones. The little trio, like an Oreo cookie, you know, two sides with the cream in the middle, you know. Once again, showing that these people really don't really have a big problem with political violence. I mean, you know, if you're going to make an omelet, you got to crack a few eggs, you know. That was today, guys. That was today. Again, people in Virginia, you have a choice before you. That's the kind of guy you want in office, and that's the kind of person you want to be governor. If she doesn't even have the courage to say, nah, this is not acceptable. You're that committed to partisan affiliations that, you know, I'm not going to request him to step out of the race. That's wild to me. All right, moving on. Yesterday, I told you guys about, you know, the contrasting perspectives where you had President Trump at the White House saying that, you know, Hamas has to disarm. They will either disarm willingly or they will be disarmed. Remember that? I played that audio on the clip. I mean, I played that audio and I played the video on the show yesterday, and I contrasted that with reports that we have from the Middle East, and I shared the reports from Reuters that showed that now that the Israeli Defense Forces have withdrawn from Gaza to the yellow line, that Hamas has come out of their tunnels and they're executing people in the middle of Gaza City. They rounded up seven men, blew them away, and brought in front of everybody in the middle of Gaza City. They're enacting retribution against people they feel like cooperated with Israel against them. Oh, yeah. And so today, the U.S. CENTCOM commander, Admiral Brad Cooper, they issued a statement warning Hamas to disarm immediately. Jeff, would you put that on the screen for the people? Issued a statement today. I'm waiting on it for it to get on the screen because I'll read it right off the screen. I have the paper here. And I'll start. Yes, this is from U.S. CENTCOM Commander Admiral Brad Cooper. It says, quote, "We strongly urge Hamas to immediately suspend violence and shooting innocent civilians in Gaza." I'm going to just pause for a second. Leave it on the screen, please, Jeff. Shooting innocent civilians in Gaza. Where are all the people in America that was on this free Palestine? Where are all the college students? Do y'all see this? Are y'all aware that this is happening? That Hamas is killing Arabs in Gaza today. Well, yesterday. That was yesterday. Right now. Back to the CENTCOM commander statement. We quote, we strongly urge Hamas to immediately suspend violence and shooting at innocent civilians in Gaza. In both Hamas-held parts of Gaza and those secured by the IDF behind the yellow line. This is an historic opportunity for peace. Hamas should seize it by fully standing down, strictly adhering to President Trump's 20-point peace plan, and disarming without delay. We have conveyed our concerns to the mediators who agreed to work with us to enforce the peace and protect innocent Gaza civilians. We remain highly optimistic for the future of peace in the region, end quote, Admiral Brad Cooper, CENTCOM commander. They're taking advantage of the peace to take vengeance on brave Gazans who are willing to stand up against the brutality of Hamas. Not surprisingly, while we have things happening in our country, you have old Zora Mamdani, who can't lift 135 on the bench. He can't. Did you see that video, Marty? He was on a campaign stop, and he was supposed to, they had some dudes lifting weights. He said, yeah, let me get in. Let me jump in. He couldn't get it up. Yeah, literally. He was just like that. He couldn't get it up. He was interviewed on by Martha McCallum. And Martha McCallum asked Zora Mamdani if he believes Hamas should give up their weapons. What do y'all think, Zoran? Zoran from the movie Big. What do you think Zoran said? What do y'all think Zoran said? You don't have to wonder anymore. I'll let you hear for yourself. Listen to and watch clip number three. Clip three. Go.
Into one that's affordable for each and every New Yorker.
But, okay, I want to get to that, absolutely. But do you believe that Hamas should lay down their weapons and leave the leadership in Gaza?
I believe that any future here in New York City is one that we have to make sure that's affordable for all. And as it pertains to Israel and Palestine, that we have to ensure that there is peace. And that is the future that we have to fight for.
But you won't say that Hamas should lay down their arms and give up leadership in Gaza.
I don't really have opinions about the future of Hamas and Israel beyond the question of justice and safety and the fact that anything has to abide by international law. And that applies to Hamas, that applies to the Israeli military, applies to anyone you could ask me about.
Okay. One last thought on that. You have said that you would arrest Netanyahu if he came to the United States. You've been very outspoken.
This dude said he doesn't have an opinion about Hamas. When he literally said, as mayor of New York, he would see to it that Bibi Netanyahu was arrested. He said this. Now, why is this significant? Because the United Nations meets in New York City. So this man has said he thinks Bibi Netanyahu should be arrested. He would see to it that Bibi Netanyahu was arrested. But now he says, I don't have an opinion as to whether or not Hamas should lay down their arms. Oh, but see this, you know, the internet, man, you think it's temporary, but it's forever. He doesn't have an opinion about Hamas, won't say that Hamas should lay down their weapons. But you know what he did say? Y'all can go look this up for yourself. On May 25th, 2022, in the year of our Lord, 2022, Zora Mamdani tweeted, quote, we need to ban all guns, end quote. So, Zoran Mamdani felt like guns needed to be banned in the United States of America, but he won't say Hamas should put down their guns. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Let's just marinate on that for a second. Guns need to be banned in America, but this dude won't even say Hamas should put down their guns. Boy, boy, oh boy, oh boy. What an interesting phenomenon. And if that's not enough regressivism with the foolishness du jour, here's another hit for you from the Pacific Northwest. Based upon the new budget documents proposed in the state of Oregon, they are now poised to spend more on programs offering free health care to illegal immigrants than they are spending on law enforcement in the state. This is in Oregon. Mm-hmm. According to the current budget period, They'll spend more on free health care for illegal immigrants and then they do on state police by $500 million. Mm-hmm. Oregon is expected to spend $1.5 billion in combined state and federal taxpayer dollars on a program that offers health benefits to illegal aliens from 2025 to 2027. They expect to only spend a combined $717 million on Oregon State Police over the same time period. The state's health agency, the Oregon Health Authority, acknowledged that the state expects to allocate the $1.5 billion in a program originally named, quote, Cover All People, end quote. They changed the name of the program, you see, because Cover All People is a little too much on the nose, right? You can't say that. So they changed the name of the program that's now called, quote, Healthier Oregon Program, end quote. See? They don't want you to be, don't want it to be so obvious that they're using taxpayer dollars to provide health care benefits to illegal aliens. Guys, you cannot make this stuff up. So you're going to spend more on health care for illegal aliens than you're going to do on state police in the state of Oregon. 2025 to 2027. Foolishness du jour. There you have it. So I'm grateful for the automakers moving the Jeep Compass manufacturing into the United States of America. But, man, we need to pray for our country because the greatest and most enduring need in our nation is repentance. It's repentance. And we cannot forget that there is a blindness. The scripture says that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. It's high time for all hands on deck, man. Pray for our nation. Consider how God will have you respond. And by his grace, emboldened by his spirit, act with courage.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.